like to acknowledge my co-authors, Adi Malapati, who's came from Oklahoma State, but he's working with us now as a research associate. J.D. Booker worked with me about 8 years as a research associate, and we finally convinced him, as smart as he is, to go back and get his PhD. So he's working at Texas Tech on his PhD. Here's one of the center pivots on Pullman clay loam. That picture here, the sulfate is usually just not well studied in the western United States. It's almost assumed that there's a lot of it. The background of this project is that I work a lot on nitrogen, and been out in West Texas about 11 years, and we have a lot of data on profile nitrate, and we went back and analyzed these soils for sulfate. And like I say here in the introduction, it is obviously an important anion in semi-arid regions of the world, together with bicarbonate. The source of sulfur is minerals like pyrite, atmospheric deposition, we'll talk a little bit about, and then there is some sulfur in organic matter. Now, if I the EPA does have a consider sulfate a secondary contaminant, and specifically they say it comes in the category of maybe having trouble with odor or taste. And so, but they say that, as an example, total dissolved solids is also a secondary contaminant, and that level is about 500 ppm. And of course, a lot of the country, including West Texas, has hard water about 1,000 ppm. So it's not really a health issue, but I just thought I'd throw that in there. Everybody's probably familiar that deposition of sulfur has declined nationwide. I'll show you a graph in a minute as coal-fired power plants have gotten into scrubbing. And again, I mentioned this point that there's a lot of the crop I work on most in West Texas is cotton. These are actually cotton fields that we'll be looking at here. They do occasionally rotate to something else, but most of the sulfur fertilizer response work is, as probably understandably, is done in the southeast, where you have lower sulfur acid soils. The anion of sulfate just doesn't accumulate. And there's some work, so like Craig Mullins did some sulfur work, Dennis Branson's done some work in North Dakota recently, but not a lot of work in the West. And here's the wildlife, Amilsu Wildlife Refuge, is about 2 hours southwest of Lubbock, near the New Mexico line. And here you can just see deposition in kgs per hectare, as high as about 10 in 85, and now down to 2 or 3. So again, part of the justification to look at sulfur is maybe it's becoming limiting. People do ask about the need for fertilizing it. And here's sulfate ion concentrations in rain. You can see that pretty high values up here in the northeast. And this is where we are right here, by the way. So the objective of this study was to assess soil profile sulfate down to 90 centimeters across a range of soil types and counties in the Texas High Plains. And we were also interested in looking at Texas Water Development. Has a very good data set. Of course, they monitor the groundwater, the Ogallala levels, in thousands of wells every year, but they also look at quality, at nitrate and sulfate and other things. And so we did look at that database and tried to, and I'll show you what we did with that in terms of looking at county soil map units and well depth, and try to relate that to our soil data. And so our methods is we had 7 center pivots. We did this the first few years I was in West Texas. They were mostly cotton. Here you can see what is an alfasol, an Amarillo sandy loam. About 15% of our soils are calcareous. You can see how white that is. I don't know if you can see actually some little white nodules. Merle, can you see those little guys? And then Lubbock North, it's more mollisols. We did look at the well water, and we did some spatial joining with the Webb Soil Survey. These are the sites, 2 pivots in Hale County, two in Hockley, one's on the line, one in Yoakum, one in Dawson. Again, there's a gradient going from southwest to northeast where you have heavier textured soils up here, mollisols. Then we could transition to alphasols, and there's some calcareous soils scattered around. There's about still 4 million acres of cotton planted, Wayne, every year within 120 miles of Lubbock, Texas, and I know the southeast has had a lot of decline in cotton acreage, and so I think our area here in cotton is probably about 30-40% of the country's production now. They do grow peanuts quite a bit down here. Where there's more water, they grow corn north. But we just don't have the, we're not cool enough to grow soybeans, and we don't really have the water Lubbock South to grow corn. So it's really cotton. Here are some of the soils. Amarillo, this is an alphasol. Acuff is at our center in the Lubbock A&M Research Extension Center where I work. Portales is a calcareous soil. The mollisols up in the Panhandle near Amarillo are like Pullman and Alton. Very good soils. Of course, historically, the vegetation here is grass. We have some soils, these brownfield where they grow peanuts, the arenic, Paleoustalth, they have about, at least originally, about 40 inches of a loamy sand above a sandy clay loam argillic. Now let's look at some of our data for the soil profiles, and these are just the pivots in the different counties. So basically we see quite a bit of variability here. We tried to classify generally your sandy soils, your alphasols, and we could see that we've got some huge amounts here. It's hard for me to see that. I think this is the Dawson County site, or at this depth right here we had over 250 kilos of sulfur, so we were really surprised with the amounts. Now this raises the point that with to testing for sulfur, to do this whole test to see what your fertilization needs are, you really need to go into the subsoil. Just going 0 to 6 inches is only going to give you a small picture, and this is what we found for nitrate as well. And there are this pivot here, the Yoakum, this is on an alphasol, is relatively lower compared to the others, but there doesn't seem to be a real pattern as to why some are higher and some are low. I'll try to discuss that later. If we move to the north of Lubbock, to the heavier textured soils, again, you see some very high levels here, clearly leached down, and I'll discuss in a minute or two where this we think this came from. This profile, on the other hand, which is actually a mollisol, a Pullman clay loam with a clay subsoil, actually has a fairly low sulfate in the profile. But as you'll see when I show you the total, it's more than enough to supply plants. And this is what we've done here with the contents, adding it all up, 0 to 9 tenths of a millimeter for our 7 pivots. And by the way, this is the number of, I mentioned the methods, how many holes we poked. These are GPS reference points, and we actually took two subsamples per GPS point. If you look at the means and the medians, we can do statistics on the means, and you can see we've got 500 kilos of sulfate sulfur in the top 9 tenths in this Dawson County alphasol site. These two sites are similar. There seems to be some that are lower. One of these in Hale County is the mollisol, but the other is an alphasol. And so, and the well water I'll get to in a minute is similar. And if we look at soil types, Amarillo, Brownfield, Pullman, Alton, we can see that there are some differences there as well. Statistically speaking, the Alton has to have a fairly low level, and the Pullman. But if we look at the, I know this is the data from the Texas Water Development Board, and this is sulfate in the wells, and this is well depth. So again, Lubbock is here. Let me start over here at well depth. Hale, if you go north, the groundwater is very deep. So you can see about 100 meters or 300 to 400, almost 500 feet in spots. And then if you go down to the southern counties, Lynn, for instance, 40 to 50 meters. And you can see there's definitely an inverse relationship with your sulfate. And we find the same thing with nitrate. Pretty clean inhale, quite a bit of sulfate in the water here. So we think this explains a lot of the soil profile sulfate. And then here's just a scatter plot of soil profile sulfate versus well water. It's definitely a positive relationship there. And then here's the means, again, by county with the well depth. But if you look at the nitrate, I just threw this in here because it is so interesting and of importance, really, for groundwater, for drinking water quality and the contributions to your nitrogen budget when you fertilize. If you look at the counties that are pushing 100 meters of well water, like Hale, it's very clean with respect to nitrate, 2.7. Two counties down in Lubbock, where the well depth is only... In Lynn, is 30 meters. The whole county averages, and this point is probably about 200 wells, averages 12.8. So, and the sulfate actually follows the same trend as the as the nitrate. If we look at the well water sulfate by a MAP unit, we do see some differences. The CA is just a term I threw in that is soils with calcareous horizons. And we see some differences there. The Pullman is the lowest at 9 ppm in the well. Well depths by MAP unit is going to be a little bit more uniform. But to summarize, the results are 90 centimeter, 9/10 of a meter profile sulfate range from 120 to 475 on these seven center pivots. So that's plenty of sulfur to grow a crop. As you probably know, roughly speaking, sulfur needs are about 20% of nitrogen. Is that right, Merle? And it's about how much of this comes from the irrigation. These are under pivots, and they do typically put out about 12 inches of irrigation a year to grow a cotton crop. And it's going to be variable, of course, depending on how many inches they do put in what the well water nitrate sulfate was. You can see it ranged from 9 to 200, but basically anywhere from about 15 to 50% of this profile sulfate could be explained with 1 year's irrigation. And then the well water range from 9 to 220. There were statistical differences within the MAP units, but they weren't very consistent. We think the well depth was more important. So in conclusion, soil profile sulfate was surprisingly high. And clearly, if you do want a soil test to see, there are producers and dealers that do some sulfur fertilization with potassium thiosulfate is a common one. And some people do for use ammonium sulfate. It's not very much available. They say, well, the sulfur would be good. They look at a 6-inch test and it comes back low. So clearly, just like we advise for nitrate in irrigated cropping in West Texas, you need to sample to 60 or better 90 centimeters, but a minimum 60. And there was differences with soil type, but we really think the well depth was more important. So given the high soil profile sulfate and the sulfate additions in irrigation water, we can make the generalization that, in general, sulfur fertilization isn't needed. But we'd still say you should soil sample to make sure. Now, we do have a very thin little finger of deep sands of Aventisol salmons that they grow potatoes on, and I didn't sample those. I really need to sample those, Merle, for sulfate and see if those soils are sufficient or deficient, but we didn't sample that very small area of deep sands that we do have. And with that, I'd be happy to take questions.
We have time for at least...
Yeah, Wayne, go ahead. Yes, we have pH data.
Do you see the pH is gradually creeping down as you put more and more water on?
No.
The reason I was asking, because, you know, one of the things we see in our alluvial soils in the Mid-South is that we actually get liming effect with water, especially in the rice areas where you use a lot of water. You know, we see our pH is creeping up as much as a whole pH unit or more.
Yes.
With time, I'm talking about 30 or 40 years worth of time.
That's a good question, and people ask the same thing about since we use nitrogen fertilizer, whether we're getting acidification. Our soils are Well, the water, first of all, is about pH 7.7. It's about 350 ppm bicarbonate. That's what's keeping it at that pH. And we do acidify it when we inject it. But the soils, Wayne, are about pH 7.5 to 7.7. They're similar. And if there's free carbonates, so this soil on the surface is going to be about pH 7.5 to 7.7, and the calcareous soil I showed you a picture of in the beginning is pH 8.2. It's basically a BTK at 6 inches, but they do some tillage, so it's just a question of where you hit the free calcium carbonates. And so in this soil over here, you may really go to 30 inches, 36 inches before you, and when you hit that, you're at pH 8.8.2. So
but you're still carrying the sulfate in your irrigation water.
Yeah.
Even though the pH is above 7 mm-hmm. on your irrigation water. So you're carrying free sulfates and free carbonates in that water.
Well, the water, bicarbonates.
Not bicarbonate.
The carbonate is solid. It would be pretty low, the calcium carbonate. But it's, you know, there's no acidification. It's just sulfate, and it's associated with calcium and magnesium, mostly associated with calcium. Any other questions, if we have time? Yes, Highland Heights.
Kevin, we found the same thing in Oklahoma. The soil is high in sulfate, sulfur, but the industry, like fertilizer industry, canola industry, keep pushing for sulfur fertilizer. They recommend to add 10 to 20 pounds of metal, the soil test says. Do you have any trial to see if crops respond to sulfur?
No. I haven't worked with. I've worked with KTS and some potassium trials. I was just trying to search the back of my brain, but I haven't. I can't see it. I can't see why how you would get a sulfur response with these kind of sulfur levels. But I actually haven't done the trial, so. Okay. Yeah. But these amounts are double to triple the sold nitrate in the profile, and the sulfur requirements are about a 20th of nitrogen. And so, Merle, did you have a question? Oh, I'm sorry.
We did on alfalfa crop, and we had some response for sulfur, alfalfa crop.
What was your soil profile sulfate in pounds or kgs?
We did a plant analyzer, it's below 0.25%. So it's a below critical level, and we got some of the response in some of the sites. We did it for 8 sites, and among 8 sites, we got response in 4 sites.
Which sulfur source did you use?
We used both gypsum and magnesium sulfate. Potassium magnesium sulfate and gypsum for calcium sulfate.
Where is the experiment conducted?
New York?
Yeah.
Glad we got the question.
The other person didn't show, so.
Oh, we have still got time.
I have another question. It's probably not so practical to ask farmers somewhere to 90 centimeter. So if they just send a 6-inch sample, what's the threshold?
I couldn't predict the profile sulfate on 6 inches. It's the same with nitrate. See, for nitrate, and that's what we did before we analyzed sulfate. That was our first objective. And there's argillic horizons everywhere except for that 0.5% of deep sands. And 99.5% we have argillic horizons, and we're semi-arid. The irrigation is deficit, and so nitrate accumulates. And so I think just like Oklahoma State, we say 24-inch nitrate test. And I realize that digging that deep is a challenge. Farmers don't soil sample enough as it is, but this is still, you know, at 50 cents a pound is what that nitrogen's worth. We're pushing that, and A&M, AgriLife Extension, is behind us on this. They picked up the ball and are running with it now for promoting deep soil sampling. We say deep soil sampling, 2 feet. And so there are some consultants that it is slowly picking up, but My goodness, there's just so many. Most sites, 90% of the sites I poke a hole in West Texas, there's enough nitrate in the top 2 feet to grow a crop in the first year without nitrogen. And so nitrogen is the main concern, not sulfur, but it's an extension education issue. So,
okay, the question I was going to ask, are farmers being told still, I know you guys kind of get them to do the testing and look at what's really there before they apply, but is the chemical fertilizer industry still pushing sulfur on farmers out there? Do you see that much of that happening, where they're still being asked to apply nutrients?
In some cases, one of the culprits is the drip irrigation. We now have about 300,000 acres of drip irrigation. Our furrow irrigation is being converted to drip, and they're getting very high yields of whatever they grow. And so the consultants are saying, well, you've got to apply everything because you're getting huge yields, and you haven't been applying potassium, you haven't been applying sulfur. So I think it always comes back to soil testing. That, you know, if you're working blind if you're not soil testing. So there's interest in KTS because we are starting to see potassium. Potassium's the other thing in West Texas that for a long time you assume you don't need potassium, and it's true. There's a lot of K in the minerals, and you rarely see a soil test K ammonium acetate less than 150 ppm like a lot of the Western U.S. But when we do get high yields and you're pulling off almost as much K2O as nitrogen, and people start to think about potassium. And so we are starting to see deficiencies in cotton late in the season during the fruit development, during the bowl development, there's a tremendous demand for potassium, and there's some evidence that the soil is not providing enough. And so I wouldn't disagree with that there is some for putting out potassium. I know I'm getting off the subject from sulfur, but it's kind of a similar thing. It's a nutrient you take for granted in Western U.S. and people don't analyze for it. People historically don't apply it. But I just think, you know, you got to keep your eye on the ball for everything. And you know, the micronutrients is, you know, the other thing from the first talk that, the soils, those high pH soils have the propensity to be low in iron, low in zinc, low in phosphorus, but high in sulfur, and you need nitrogen, but because of the semi-arid climate and our clay subsoils, it tends to accumulate. So we just say soil test every year. So thank you very much.